Hello, hello, JC here. Welcome back to the show, if I can call it that. So for those who don't know what this is about, it's basically, okay, I'm watching, you know, the Line episodes, and I take notes from, like, almost every caller. Some callers are just kind of trolling, so it's not interesting at all, but usually, the regular callers are okay. And, you know, I listen to what they say. And typically what I want to do on this show is address the points that were not addressed on the Line. So, yeah, it's kind of like an extra, if you want. But I will also provide my commentary on things that may have been covered. So it's kind of both. All right, so this episode, I'm going to cover the Sunday show that was aired on April 23rd, 2023. So it's very recent. And the first call was Helios again. So this guy, I don't know. Like, obviously, okay, I don't know. He's from Serbia. He keeps calling, like, every show almost. I wonder if he calls the Transatlantic show as well. I really doubt it, though. But maybe he does. I don't know. I don't watch it. So, I don't know. It's kind of weird that certain callers are, like, calling so often. It feels like almost a personal kind of therapy session, and, like, you know, he really calls in every single show. Kind of odd to me, but anyway, he was talking about dreams, interpretation of dreams, and why we see certain dreams. So I think, like, there's a lot of people, I mean, there's been entire, you know, websites created, books written about dream interpretation. And, like, honestly, I really doubt that they have any kind of, like, real foundation. It's like, okay, you see, for example, ants or something. And, you know, because ants work together, usually, so that means that the dream about ants represents something about working together to do something. But it's ridiculous. It's, come on, it's certainly it's not scientific. I really doubt it is. Dream interpretation. So yeah, the other thing about dreams is, like, okay, so for example, in my case, I can meet somebody. Even just once is enough, just so that my brain, you know, remembers the visual picture of that person. And then, like, I don't know, a few days later or something, it's very, very possible that I have a dream with that person in it, or mentioning that person in the dream, which wouldn't have happened before I met that person or even saw that person. So definitely the brain is recording what we experience. I mean, okay, sure, actually, it's very common to have dreams where you have people that you've never seen before. And it would be interesting to then see them in real life. That would be something. That would be like maybe a prophetic dream or some sort. But yeah, dreams are fun, okay? Like, okay, some people don't even have dreams, or they don't remember dreams, or they don't, like, just remember anything at all. And some other people, for them, the dreams are very vivid, and they remember everything in detail, like even the entire dialogue in the dream they remember. It's interesting also because in my dreams, like, I often, like 99.99%, I would speak in English, even though I'm fluent in French and in Russian. But it doesn't seem to matter. It just seems to default to English. And of course, you know, that's because I'm surrounded by English, like, every day. Okay, and Japanese as well. But Japanese has not come into my dreams yet. That would be weird. That would be something. But yeah, it's in English, and this is because, you know, I'm listening to English music, I'm watching English shows, I watch anime, but it's with subtitles. And it just makes sense that at night, the continuation of that is also in English. So yeah, I don't think, like, I think a lot of people kind of read into that too much. And they say, you know, some people say, like, well, the dream is actually like a vision from like a parallel universe, bro. And like, you're seeing some kind of thing that's happening out there. And it's just like a connection to your brain. And I'm like, okay, well, you're free to assert that. You're free to say whatever you want. You have freedom of speech. I'm not limiting it. But there's no evidence for your assertion. It's just an empty assertion. I'm also, you know, I can also say that, but I don't see the benefit of doing that. I'm not saying, like, it could be some kind of vision from another universe. Who knows? I'm just saying that we have no way of knowing. There's no way of, like, you can't tell the difference if it's just like a regular process or, you know, it's some signal from out there. It's really, really, really difficult to tell the difference. So I don't know how you can tell the difference with absolute certainty. That's my point. All right, so that was about that. Then the next call, I'm just going to check the audio very quickly. It's good. The next call was from Elena, and that was a painful call, man. I mean, that was just like, ooh. Every time we get into politics, it's just so tedious. Like, politics these days, like, the majority of politicians are just not exciting. I know they're not supposed to be exciting. They're supposed to legislate, hopefully well, and hopefully they stand for good things, you know, like actually just not spouting platitudes like Kamala Harris did. Actually, if you watch her, I think that was the video she did in the primaries, like that was kind of the first video she did last time around, and it was just platitudes. Education, healthcare, hope. And it's like, okay, you said some words, and how are you going to actually achieve any of that? That's what I'm interested in, not platitudes, okay? You can fuck off with the platitudes. Tell me how you actually plan to implement policies. That's what I want to know. So, yeah, Elena was talking about a particular political candidate, Marianne Williamson. And, you know, it was, again, just like a bunch of platitudes, okay, like, education. And it's like, okay, but what do you mean, first of all, by education? Because, you know, if you talk to a conservative American, they have one definition of education. They want, for example, you know, Bible in the school, etc. If you talk to a more progressive candidate, then their definition is different. So first you have to define what she means by education. But the most important thing is she has to explain how she plans to improve education or make it worse. I mean, I don't know, like, right? It could go both ways. But if she plans to improve education, you need to provide a clear structure. Okay, I'm going to do like X, Y, Z, and then the result of X, Y, Z is this. Now, this is how rational people analyze things. We don't just listen to platitudes and then support the candidate. But unfortunately, because the US is such a fucking show in general when it comes to politics, unfortunately, many people do fall for this shit. And they just hear platitudes. They don't pay attention to politics, actually. They just listen. At best, they will hear maybe 5 minutes of somebody talking about something. And those 5 minutes will be enough for them to make their decision. And I'm like, this is shocking. This is shocking levels of attention, man. This is unacceptable. And everybody, like, seriously, everybody who is like that, should be absolutely embarrassed and ashamed of themselves as a human being. Like, if you can't pay more attention than 5 minutes, and you know, you make an important decision, such as, you know, voting for somebody who will represent your state or even your county or something like that, you can't just go off platitudes. I'm sorry, but that's just unacceptable. It's unacceptable. Yeah, and Matt, of course, pointed out that he's more interested in somebody who is a proper skeptic. And Elena didn't understand what skepticism is whatsoever. That's another thing about her speech there. Somebody who's for humanism. I mean, I have certain issues with humanism, actually, because I'd rather be somebody who is just in tune with the whole world, not just about human beings, but the world in general. So I think there's a word for that. Maybe I don't know, like, because I don't know the word. You see, there's so many labels these days, even I get lost. But there must be some kind of label that for somebody who just loves the world and wants to, you know, better not just human beings, but the planet as a whole. If you know the word, drop it in the comments section. I'm always open to being educated. I don't claim to know everything. I never did. I know that some people who come to my page, they make a bunch of claims about me. But those people don't know me at all. They don't know shit about me. And they just assume things and they put words in my mouth. And it's like, okay, well, again, you're free to do that. I'm not gonna, you know, stop people from having their, like, free speech or whatever. But it's just, like, ridiculous because, like, you don't know me. At least, like, ask questions. Then I can answer you and then you can actually know my position. Otherwise, you're just pulling things out of your ass, and that's not how it works. So yeah, I'm definitely for somebody who is a proper skeptic, somebody who, you know, supports the interests of the whole planet, and that includes the environment, of course, which for me is like a big cause, because I made a whole course on, it's a free course about climate change. It's about 15 lectures plus the trailer. So yeah, this is something that is very close to me. So obviously I want somebody in power who, you know, will protect the environment. And of course, within that, they will also protect human beings. So I think humanism is fine, but I think, like, I'm just kind of looking at that next step, just higher, not just humans, but the whole kind of environment, which includes humans. So human is a subset of this bigger thing. And of course, somebody who is in tune with science. This is very important. If somebody says, you know, like prayer and medicine are on equal footing, or that there's two sides to every issue, there's no two sides to climate change. I mean, yeah, I know the other side of climate change. It's the fucking deniers who don't understand science, who reject the science, who go off anecdotal evidence all the time. It's like, well, you know, like in my tiny spot in Portugal this year, I felt it was a little bit cooler than usual. And that's good enough for them. Like, I actually make a record of temperatures. I've been doing that for like nearly 7 years. So every day I record the temperature. I make graphs in Excel, you know, and I can see where it's going. So yeah, it goes up and down. That's true. That is true. If you look at graphs of temperatures, average temperatures per year, it does go up and down. It's kind of a seesaw pattern. Like literally every year is up and down. But the overall trend though, if you plot, I really fear that a lot of these people have not studied math very well, so they don't know any of this. But yeah, if you studied a bit of math, you know that you can plot trend lines. And if you do that with temperatures, you can definitely see the trend line going higher. Of course, the other thing they say, oh, they love to say this one, and it just drives me up the wall. They will say that temperatures in the early Earth, so we're talking about like the Hadean era or something like that, the temperatures back then were much higher than today. And so that means that climate change is not real. And I'm just like, it just baffles me how people can even think like that. So, yeah. Anyway, yeah, so skeptic believes in the environment and understands the scientific method and, you know, goes off data and not anecdotal evidence. That is some of the criteria I look for in candidates when I vote for them. Now, it's true that most candidates never even qualify, never even pass that bar. So, yeah, we're fucked in that respect, if you ask me. If, like, most candidates can't even pass this bar, this basic bar, it's difficult to find hope. And I can see why some people lose hope in the political system. They're basically like political nihilists, you know, and I get it. But still, there's going to be always at least hopefully one person who can pass this bar and more, hopefully. I mean, I really hope, because otherwise we're really headed towards idiocracy. And if people don't know what that is, it's a movie. It was a movie that, well, I'm not remember how old it is, but It's a comedy movie, but now it's viewed more as a documentary, let's just say. So yeah, check it out. It's not like a great movie, but it has some interesting points, let's say. Okay, next caller, so AJ, that guy, again, he's not the first, it's not the first time he calls. Every time it's awful, and this time was no exception. He's just a troll, I think. He's just an absolute troll. He brought up this concept of, okay, well, it's my truth versus your truth. And it's like, okay, how do we determine which one of us is right? Well, you have to look at the evidence, like which evidence best supports your views. You know, if you believe in God and stuff, that's fine. I mean, it's not fine, but you're free to believe that. But you the burden of proof is on you. You see, like, if you claim anything, like I said in my last show, like if I can claim that, you know, the ruler of Jupiter is a unicorn king on the surface of Jupiter, I don't need to prove it. I don't need to demonstrate it. It's there. It's really there. I know it's there. I strongly believe it's there. In fact, I base my life on it. The unicorn king has a bunch of rules that you have to obey. And if you don't obey those rules, you're going to go to a very special kind of hell. I don't have to prove anything. I don't have to demonstrate anything. It's just I strongly believe it. I can even write a book about it. I can, you know, call it the Jupiter Unicorn King Bible. It has a bunch of rules, and if you don't obey those rules, you're going to hell. So you'd better believe those rules, because, like, you know, I might be right. So you better believe me. Yeah, so my truth versus my truth, this is ridiculous. In fact, I got into such an argument with my mother, and my mother is actually, like, you know, she believes in some woo, but overall, like, she's pretty well educated. But unfortunately, yeah, she's more kind of like a spiritual person, which I have issues with as well. I have issues with spiritualists. And at one point, we were talking about something, and I said, okay, well, if we just say, like 1 + 1 = 2, I think the vast majority of people will agree with that. We can demonstrate that. We can have, you know, kind of two fists, right? I mean, okay, one fist, you add one more, now you have two fists. I mean, that's just the obvious way. It doesn't matter, actually, if observer is there or not. Some people brought this point that, well, if there is no observer, then we can never know. That doesn't matter if there is an observer or not. If you have a forest somewhere, I don't need to be there to know that probably, very likely in that forest, there are at least two trees. And, you know, if I add one tree to one tree, it makes two trees. Like, it's just obvious. I don't even know why I need to explain this. But apparently for some people, this is a very difficult concept. So, I don't know. And then she's, so I said, okay, most people agree that 1 plus 1 equals 2. And she replied that I'm going to count my way. I was just like, wow, that's one way to lose a debate right there. I've never seen like somebody nosedive that much before. But anyway, that was just interesting. But yeah, there are certain things that we can agree on as a group. That's why consensus is a thing. It can be wrong, so that's true. It can be wrong, but for kind of mundane things, I'm talking about mundane things like counting number of fists or sticks or trees. I don't think we need to like investigate in that much depth, do we? Okay, and then Jimmy brought that point up. He said, I want to know what is true independently of whether or not we believe them. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I want to believe, I want to know things independent of whether or not I actually believe in them or not. And that's very important. So you can say, okay, I can say that I believe in X, but for me, it really matters whether X is actually true or not. And if you talk to like a generic theist, they believe in X, which is like, you know, let's say God, believe in God, but they don't actually care. Like it doesn't actually matter to them whether it's true or not, it seems. Now, I think truth should matter to us all, but, you know, I can say, well, that's just common sense. But obviously, my common sense is not the common sense. Okay, so. All right, next one, we had Giancarlo, who called from Brazil. It's kind of an interesting name because Giancarlo is an Italian name. But okay, whatever. Like, he could be an Italian in Brazil. Because it's not a very Brazilian name, I'm saying. So he said that the way that atheists sometimes talk to theists can be seen as very arrogant. I can see where that's coming from. Like, yeah, in some instances, I actually, you know, because I'm running a page, I sometimes hang out on some forums. And yes, sometimes atheists do talk in a very arrogant and very condescending way. But look, what I will say here is one thing, first of all. Atheist, a lot of people kind of bundle a bunch of definitions to atheist, but atheist is just one thing. It's the rejection of the God claim. It's basically like a theist claims that a God exists. An atheist simply rejects that claim for whatever reason. It can be lack of evidence, blah, blah, blah. But it's the rejection of the theistic claim. That's what an atheist means. That's all. That is all. Okay? So don't start saying that, well, you know, you're an atheist, so you're also like a humanist and you're, you know, you believe in the Big Bang and, you know, you support vaccines. This has nothing to do with atheism. Nothing. Atheism is just a position on one issue and one issue alone. Now, everything else that comes on top of that is a case-by-case thing. I'm sure there are some atheists out there who believe like the vaccines cause autism and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sure there are some of them out there. Not many, granted, but I'm sure they're out there because, again, atheism is just a rejection of the God claim. Every other issue is kind of wide open. It's true, though, yeah, that in general, most atheists seem to fall into, you know, humanists, etc., etc. But there are also many nihilists who are atheists, etc., etc. So it's not just, don't attach a bunch of baggage to the term atheist, because that's just wrong. So, yeah, I'm sure some atheists can be seen as very arrogant when talking to theists. I've seen it happen before, so yeah. But think about this, though, is is that really kind of, it could be a bit arrogant, sure, but is that more arrogant than somebody who claims to know every single answer in the universe, even answers that are outside space and time? Which one of these is more arrogant, you think? I will leave you on that. And the final caller, well, I mean, there was one, well, actually one after, but that was just a complete train wreck. And most likely just a troll. I would hope so anyway. Or a complete idiot. But Cameron, so Cameron called before that guy, and he had some comments about a friend he has, and that friend is a supporter of Andrew Tate. Oh boy. Well, first of all, that call was a bit strange because so Cameron, maybe not the greatest speaker ever, because every almost after every word he was like, well, like this, like friend, like he believes in like Andrew Tate, like, and that's just absolutely a torture to listen to. Okay, so maybe my advice to callers in general, or you know, people who speak, is maybe before you start speaking, try to organize thoughts in your head properly so you don't use filler words all the time. This is actually very common in Japan as well. Instead of like, people say ano, so they will say something ano, da 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 da, ano, like this, and it's just a torture for the ears. And the reason is, like in Japan, they do that because apparently silence is bad, so you have to fill the silence with something, and so they say ano all the time. But it could be a cultural thing here. I don't know. But as far as I know, like in the States, we don't really have that issue. So I think like if there is silence, that's fine. It just means that, you know, you're thinking about something and you need a bit a second to organize thoughts in your head. But that's just my advice though. Just to be a better speaker, try to avoid filler words like. So is another one. There's others, but I just can't think off the top of my head right now. Anyway, try to avoid these words. So yeah, comments on Andrew Tate's friend, and he mentioned talking with people. Today there's a lot of hostility, probably more than before. This is a good, interesting point. I grew up in the pre-internet era, like I said on the previous show. And back then, of course, you know, no internet. We had phones, but you know, phones were always annoying, I thought. I honestly just never liked phones. I never liked calling people. I never liked being called. It's like these days when you get a phone call, especially, you just look at your phone and you know, it says like somebody's calling and you have these options at the bottom, like reject or something, and I'm always just kind of staring at that screen, and I'm like, ah, like what do I do? Like I really don't want to talk right now. So do I just let the timer run out, or do I literally push decline, or what do I do? And I'm always kind of stuck every time somebody calls me. So I don't like when people call me, and I don't know, like it's just not my thing. It's really not. Some people might enjoy it. I know that in, you know, if you watch some TV shows from like the 80s, especially in the 90s, like it was very popular to call people. And there was this whole kind of thing about it, like people get stuck talking on the phone for like a minute, well, not a minute, but for a long time, and they talk about their life, etc., etc., like in great detail. And that's fine, but I'm just not like that. And so a lot of hostility though. I don't know. I think it's because I for me, like the internet is a double-edged sword. So on one side, you have it's great because you have a lot of knowledge and you can explore certain things that you could just not explore before. For example, in my high school, the science classes were just awful, just terrible. My teachers were some of the worst I've ever had, and I'm sure there are even worse than them, but they were pretty bad. The only one that was somewhat okay was my last physics teacher, and he was like somewhat okay. But the others were just like a lost cause, complete shit show, you know. But thanks to the internet, I can go on places, for example, Coursera or edX, and I can search for something that I'm interested in. For example, astrophysics. I'm interested in astrophysics, so I will type that in, and it will show me a bunch of courses about astrophysics. Now, granted, some of them are completely beyond me, way too difficult, and yeah, just, you know, it's unfortunate because I'm interested, but it's just way out of my league. But there are others that are not. They will explain things from a very basic perspective, and that's much, much better for me. You know, I can really follow along and understand at least the basics of what I'm interested in. So I want to learn more about the universe. I want to know how things work, not just guessing or estimating or something like that. I actually want to know like the science behind things. And so if I can find courses that explain it on a very basic level, then I can build on that later. I can maybe jump to some more complicated courses later. But just as a foundation, I have access to that, to those courses. Now, on the other side of the coin, though, is before the internet, you had, you know, like a village idiot. Like, everybody knew that this guy is just a lost cause in the village or the city or whatever. Everybody knew who it was and maybe avoided that person as much as possible because there's absolutely no benefit in talking to this person. He just spouts nonsense all day long, you know, about anything. And before the internet, those people didn't have the means to connect to other such people out there. But now they do. The internet has granted them the ability to create groups like that and basically create not just one individual who is very ignorant and maybe not just ignorant, but maybe spouts some really like wrong things that can influence people to go down bad paths in the future. But now they can create entire pockets of ignorance like that on the internet. And, you know, they're very vocal. Like the people who don't know much, I find that they're usually very, very vocal about what they say, what they believe, what they claim to know. And this is the Dunning-Kruger effect. Like when you're at the top of, you know, Mount Stupid up there, you have so much confidence that really nothing, almost nothing can bring you down from that thing, right? So yeah, they're very vocal, and regards to hostility, this is very hard to gauge because I don't know what the hostility level was before the internet. It's really hard to estimate because, again, like, I don't know even how you would even begin to measure that, but now definitely we can measure that. For example, this is very common these days. I'm going to jump back to the example of football again because I'm kind of familiar with that. I'm talking about soccer again for Americans. What happens, unfortunately, a lot of these days is if you watch English football, so like in England, right? You have a game, a match, and let's say a black player just like missed a very easy chance. Like it was just, you have to tap the ball in and somehow he blazes it over the goal. And what happens, unfortunately, in that case is that after the game, there's a bunch of haters, which my guess is white, and they actually go like from a racist point of view. Like he's a horrible player because he's black, you see? And sometimes they even go to death threats, et cetera, and that this is just very unfortunate, of course, that some people resort to that, but they're out there, and we can gauge that, you see. So, for example, this player after that game, he received 1,000 comments. Okay, so usually after like a regular game where nothing really happened, maybe like 950 comments out of 1,000 were like just kind of regular comments, and maybe 50 of them were from haters. But after that bad game, maybe now 300 haters appear, and only 700 people are like, ah, okay, well, whatever, like it can happen. But you can gauge that now. You can gauge the hostility because you can literally count the amount of vile comments like that. You can actually gauge that. Now, how you gauge that before the days of internet, I don't know. I have no idea. It would be very, very difficult. Obviously, yeah, there were some, there was always hostility out there. But I think like the internet just kind of enabled, especially a bunch of people to jump on the bandwagon and say very vile things just because somebody else said very vile things. I think that's how it works anyway. But now we can really gauge that. So before, I don't know. But also, I think just in the, I don't know when the internet started exactly, maybe 20, let's say 25 years ago. I think in the past 25 years, what has happened is we've be maybe it's also because of the internet, actually, but we've become much more polarized than before. It's really become much more tribalistic now than before, I think. Maybe in the past we tried to work more in groups, etc. We tried to reach across the aisle, as we say. But now it's really just there's nothing to reach for. It's like the other side is just a lost cause. There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing there to reach for. This is I don't know, like I don't know why this change happened, really. It's hard to put my finger on it, but I'm sure like people who are smarter than me wrote books about that, and I could read about that. I'm sure you could find books about that and really explore the issue in more depth. I'm not claiming to know the answer or all the information. But like, again, if people this is an interesting question, perhaps, for people who are watching. So, yeah, if you know even some of the reasons why the world is much more polarized now than before, drop a comment. Drop your thoughts in the comments. Let me see what you think, because I'm really curious. This is kind of an open question. Because even for the other side, that's a lost cause. I'm sure even they have reasons why they can't reach across the aisle over to us. I'm sure there is some kind of like barrier that just is, unsurmountable right now. And I'd like to know why that is. So yeah, if you know, then drop the comment. Drop a comment. Let people argue about that. Let's put it to the test, And that's actually it for today. So yeah, I will try to do these often, but again, it takes time because I have to watch the show. I have to take notes. Talking about it is actually not too bad. It doesn't take too much time, but yeah, just watching the show, it takes a long time. I have to take notes. I will try to definitely cover things like Skeptalk and also the shows on the weekend, and I think on Wednesdays. I think Matt also does the Wednesday shows. So yeah, those three. But it honestly, like I will try at least one a week, and if I can, then all three. All right, that's it. So take care, stay safe. JC signing off, and peace.